Psalms 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Proclaim good tidings of his salvation from day to day. Tell of his glory among the nations, his wonderful deeds among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory of his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy attire. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established, and it will not be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar in all it contains. Let the field exult in all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing for joy. Before the Lord, he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness, in the peoples, in his faithfulness.
Lord, for your word.
Daddy, help us to be intimate with grace. Help us to know a little more every day how much you love us and what that means. Help us not to know the definition of love so that we can get an A+ on the test, but to know it in our hearts, to walk with it each and every day, to be intimate with it. You accept us for who we are today. So help us accept us for who we are and each other. Help us not to follow rules, but to follow you.
Yes, Lord.
Help us to know and intimately know,
yes,
and understand that our lives will be restored, that this is only temporary. There's something much more wonderful. And that promise applies to us. It's so hard to forget. It's so hard to take advantage of and think that that promise doesn't mean for me. It means for each and every one of us. Help us see how you see us. We are beautiful to you. Help us to know grace. We're not in the old covenant anymore. We're in the new. You died for us, Jesus, and I thank you so much. You died for us so that we can intimately know how much you love us. We have seen it. Help us believe it. Help us receive it. Help us get past just the existence of knowing you. Help us to know you, to walk with you, to hold your hand, to hear your voice, to be much more than just mandates and rules. I'm so excited for your coming kingdom. I love you, and I hope to receive your grace. Amen.
there anyone sick? Maybe you're struggling with some kind of illness or even a disease and you would like to be prayed for. If that's you, if you can just raise your hand, slip up your hand, we want to pray for you. We don't want you sitting here not feeling well. Jay? Anybody else? Sheila? If you can just hold your hand up for just a second, and I'm going to ask the rest of you, if you would, just go and lay hands on them. You don't have to preach a sermon over them. Just speak the word of God over them. Amen? If you can do that now, that would be great. If you can just raise your hand up if you're not feeling well and like to be prayed for. Aren't you glad God has given us everything we need?
Amen.
Given, that's past tense. It's not he's going to give. He's given us everything that we need according to life and godliness. He has supplied everything, which includes healing, physical, mental, spiritual. Everything we need. That's right. Through the true knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's all provided. Yes. Amen. Amen. That's right. You know, speaking of that, it came to me the other day, and I thought about doing this on our Signal group. If you guys aren't on Signal, you're missing some of our announcements and things that we're saying and doing. We're trying to send them texts too, but you're still missing some things. And I've actually, like a few years back, put together what I just called a red letter challenge, which is basically just focusing and studying on all the red letters, everything Jesus said and everything Jesus did. I've done it myself. Just to study, it really changes when you're just focusing on him in the Gospels. And you know, there's red letters in Acts and red letters in is it 1 Corinthians? And then there's also red letters in Revelation. He says a lot in Revelation. When you just focus on him, what he's saying, I'm not saying exclusively, but just doing that kind of a study, it really does give a completely different perspective of Christ and the things that he said and did. Because we are supposed to do the same things. The same things he did. And greater. Which also means in quantity. Not just greater in more spectacular, but in quantity. A couple announcements today. We're going to have a baby shower. For Zach and Holly. I'm still trying to figure out how you shower a baby in the womb, but I guess it's not for me to know. So today, immediately after our meeting, we'll be showering a baby. And then don't forget, this Friday night at 6 p.m., who are we going to have? Bill Federer is going to be here. If you've never heard him, it's worth it. He's a wealth of knowledge. He's going to be speaking about socialism. So that'll be very, very good. Warning, I'm going to be all over the place today. Okay? It's a warning. That's not 3 points in a poem. Of course, I'm not sure I ever give 3 points in a poem. I'm not sure I know how to do that. I want to share something. It just hit me as we were singing and praising, and I was meditating on the Lord a little bit. So I want to read a couple passages. You don't have to turn them. You probably already know them and can quote them. In Matthew 28, now it's been titled the Great Commission. I don't believe it is, because the Bible doesn't say it's the Great Commission. Translators have said it, and then preachers have just been saying it for decades and decades and eons that it's the Great Commission, but the Bible doesn't say it's the Great Commission. So, hi, Carl. Hello. Good to see you. It says, all authority, this is Jesus speaking, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. Now, see, you don't even need to ask about going, because he's already said to go. I mean, if you ask anything in this context, should I stay? But he's already said to go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations or ethnic groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe some of my favorite scriptures that I... Wrong book? Reading out of the wrong book. Go at teaching them to observe the main points that I command you. No, it's all. It's everything that he's commanded. And he says, lo, I'm with you always. And in Mark 16, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized, which means immersed, shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned. And then he says this, these signs will accompany you, you who have believed. In my name you will cast out demons. He's not talking to apostles here only, prophets only, those who have four-year degrees that came out of seminary only. Dear God, that's not even valid anymore. Yeah. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, but only in the last of the last days. Do you know when the last days began? When Jesus was resurrected. That's when the last days began. Here's the point. Well, let me finish this. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Amen. This is what Jesus said. It's not what I say. This is what Jesus said. Amen. And then he qualifies that. He says, those who believed. Amen. Those who put their trust in him. Yes. You know, one of the things that's sad to me in this context is there's so many Christians waiting for God to do something, like all of a sudden just zap the world with his power, and then all of a sudden signs and miracles are going to flood the earth. He's already told us. What are we waiting for? Oh, it got really quiet. Now, we can't go into hospitals and just raise everybody up or go into a cemetery and start saying, okay, guys, get up out of that ground. We even sang a song about it. Jesus only said what he heard the Father say. He only did what he saw the Father do. That's the same way our orientation to our new life in Christ by doing and saying what he's showing us to do and say. And not waiting for something to zap us or for some specific time when all of a sudden God just decides to move. He already decided to move. It's what the Word says. Hello? We're always waiting, it seems like, for God to do something. We even pray that way when it comes to healing. God, would you heal somebody? When there's no scripture that teaches us to pray that way. None. Zero. Jesus didn't pray that way. The disciples didn't pray that way. He said, you go heal the sick. Now, often there's times that we are to ask the Lord for things, but when it comes to healing, he never says to ask him for healing. Doesn't even say to pray that way. So obviously, if we do that, we're already in a lack of faith. Because faith is saying and doing what he says to say and do. Faith is based in him, not us. In his character, in what he says to say and what he says to do. One of the things I really feel here, and what I want to do this morning, and I'll try to do it quick, is I want to kind of go over a little bit of the last 3 years, specifically, just hitting some highlights in what the Lord has spoken to us as a congregation, what he's done among us, how he's navigated us through some things. And then the real impression that I've been getting here lately is being prepared and equipped to not survive these days we're in, but to absolutely thrive. Amen. And it saddens me over the last couple years how I've seen so many Christians they're barely surviving. I'm putting their head in the sand, locking themselves behind doors. And I wouldn't say there's no time that we do things similar to that, but it's rare in Scripture. He says we are to let our light shine. Amen. And the darker things get, the brighter we should be shining. Yes. Hey, by the way, have you seen this new discovery? You know, they're always discovering stuff in Israel. I mean, there's so much stuff to discover. Have you seen the new discovery they found underwater off the shore of Caesarea? About the ring? They found a woman's ring. It's very small. It's got a green emerald in it. And it's got a carving of Jesus. They call it the Good Shepherd with a lamb over his shoulder. I find it very interesting that they just find this just now. They found a lot of things, a lot of coins. You know what they also found? They found a red emerald that's got David's harp in it, carved in it. Isn't it interesting? Especially like right now. With all that's going on in Israel. You got the rebuilding of the temple going on. So many people have returned. Jews have returned to Israel. Got a lot of prophetic symbolism here. And then they find a ring of the Good Shepherd. Matter of fact, I heard from a Jew that lives in Israel just this last week that many Jews are actually expecting the Messiah. Looking for it. Very interesting. They found a Roman bronze figurine in the form of an eagle, which I think is interesting too, since the eagle is the United States symbol. you know, we've been talking about, right, that Israel is God's firstborn nation son, and America is God's secondborn nation son, and they are linked together. Regardless of what our government does or says, we're linked spiritually together. So, let's jump into some of this. So, I don't know where, all I have is is an impression from the Lord about thriving, not just surviving. But I do believe that it will entail some more preparation, being prepared for today, because the word, I'm going by personally a lot of the words God has spoken to me over the years and that he said, and one of them is that we have entered into a decade of trouble. COVID's not our only problem. We're in a decade, at least, of trouble. But along with that, as he said, that he's got some people that are also going to cause some trouble. So I'm hoping I'm talking to a room full of troublemakers. That is my hope. So I'm going to go over just a few things, some highlights of some things that the Lord has spoken, that have done, just to be reminded, to not only give us some hope, but maybe to build our faith a little bit more on some of the things that he said to us and how he's equipped us and prepared us for these times, way in advance. Some things he did years in advance. I mean, I've had dreams and visions and words that I had no idea what they meant at the time. But then when time kind of unfolds, it's like, oh yeah, now I know what you're saying. Now I know what you were talking about. You know, our weathermen have gotten more accurate over the decades, but they're still not 100%. But I like to be warned when a storm's coming. If I lived on the coast, I would want to know days in advance that a hurricane's coming. Why? So I can prepare to do what I need to do. I like to be prepared. Well, God does that with his people. He'll speak, he'll give us dreams, visions, words, scripture. Matter of fact, how much of the prophetic scripture he's already written way in advance to tell us what was coming. Why? Just to entertain us? No. So we'll be equipped and prepared for such a time as this. To not just survive, but to thrive. Not to be a dim light in the corner that you can't even hardly see, but to be a shining light. A city on a hill. The best way to defeat your enemy is how? Convert them. It's the absolute best. But when that doesn't work, never mind. So discernment. We've talked a lot about discernment. Discernment, not suspicion. Sometimes you can function in suspicion and think it's discernment. When King Saul looked upon David, it says specifically, he looked upon David with suspicion. It wasn't discernment, it was suspicion. And it caused him to attack him and try to kill him. Discernment does not come by reading a book, going to a class. Doesn't even come by going to church. You know the answer to really everything that we're talking about is the same, all the time. It's to have a relationship with the Lord and then develop our fellowship, our koinonia with the Lord. Because it's from him that we're going to be led. We're sons of God are led how? Not by the media, not by government, not by the prophet. Uh-oh. Not even by apostles. By the Spirit of God. Now, they can be led by the Spirit of God through these means, but it's more specifically by the Spirit of God. And that is one of my desires, and I believe it's one of God's desires, is that everybody here at New Covenant learn the voice of God, know the voice of God for themselves, and are led by the voice of God. Now, when I say voice, I just mean I'm going to try my best to change that word to communicate. How God communicates, Because I know sometimes when I say voice, it means God actually speaking and you hear words. I don't ever hear audible words from God, but I do get impressions, and sometimes they're as strong as words inside, but they're not audible. But it's really, how is God communicating to us? And that we're able to discern how he communicates above all other communication. Even the desires of our own heart and emotions, which are the strongest. But what is actually God saying? There are many false prophetic words going on and have been a lot more than usual in the last 2 years. And they're coming from very popular people with big names and some that I've even respected. I'm not saying everything they say is false, and I'm not even saying they're false prophets. But there has been many false prophetic words. There still is. Be very careful on what you're listening to. If we hear a word from a prophet, we should be discerning the Spirit of God in that word, not because it's coming from a particular person. The same thing with me. As much as you might trust me, like me, appreciate me, appreciate my word, don't ever trust me for me saying it. Always, what is God saying to you? Test everything. Try everything. Know the word of God. Test everything. If you got questions on something I've preached or teach, please ask. Because I can be wrong. I know it sounds crazy, but I can be. And don't even ask my wife about it. Because she could probably remember over the last 40 years once or twice. Before we woke up this morning. I'm very thankful that the Lord has warned us. So here we go. I just want to remind some of you, and I know some of you haven't been with us very long and you've never heard this, but that the Lord, specifically in 2019, before the craziness of Marxism really revved up and the Great Reset was launched upon us and COVID, that the Lord warned us about a storm coming. We talked about it. We prayed about it. I had many messages about it. Matter of fact, just before that, I taught on the coming storm. I taught on the spirit of Jezebel. And boy, is the spirit of Jezebel active in our nation. Please don't take like I'm so smart. I'm not smart at all. I'm just trying to hear what the Lord is saying and then just say and do that. And God makes you look smart when you just do what he says. He makes you look really smart. And so we taught on that. I found this interesting. It just hit me this morning that if you remember, those of you that were here, in 2019, we switched our services from Sunday morning to Saturday night. Remember that? Yeah. And people were asking me why, and I was like, I don't really know. It's a weird idea. Some people are thinking, oh, it's because it's the Sabbath. No, that's a misunderstanding of the Sabbath anyway. No, that's not what it's about. I don't really know. I didn't even like it. I didn't. Matter of fact, when we did, I didn't really want to do it. And then when we did it, it was like, I don't really like this. And then I found out most of our congregation didn't like it either. We even asked people, right? We asked them, hey, what do you think about this? Yeah, that'd be great. Well, it turned out it wasn't really so great for us. But I find it interesting that the Lord, and I'm careful sometimes of blaming things on the Lord. Right? You know, people say, well, the Lord made me do this. Well, he didn't make you do anything, number one. And number two, that could have been that really bad salad you ate last night and that weird dream you had. But we are impressed with the thought of changing it to Saturday. And we did, I think it was in September or October, don't really remember the exact, and we stuck it out through the winter, and then we decided we were going to go back to Sunday. Remember that? We decided that we were going to go back, and I don't remember what day we decided, but I found this just struck me this morning. Never thought about this before. The Sunday that we started back on Sunday was the very first Sunday after the World Health Organization and President Trump declared a state of emergency, and it was during the Saturday night that we did a lot of teaching on Jezebel, the coming storm, and all of these things. And so what does Saturday night have to do with it? I really don't know, other than what hit me was change. That change was coming. I had a dream several years back, probably 5 or 6 before COVID, and I know many of you remember this, that I was driving down the street and I saw the gas prices at $2.89, and I just went another block or two and all of a sudden they changed to $7.65. And in that dream, what the Lord was speaking to me was, change is coming, and when it comes, it's going to happen fast and drastic. That was the communication. Well, I didn't know really what that was going to be like. And here's what I'm saying. I'm just so grateful to the Lord that he was showing us things like this, preparing us and equipping, that we're not blindsided, like really so many were. Still are, 2 years later. So he gave several different dreams and visions. He warned us of the storm coming. He showed me in a dream, remember the ship, the huge ship, that I saw a guy with a life jacket on in the water, and I saw this ship, and then all of a sudden it cracked right in half, and it was like, I didn't see, but it was like two hands lifted up the bow and the stern and just crushed it in half, and it began to sink, and all I was watching it from the sky, and then all of a sudden I zoomed in, and I was the guy in the water. You remember that dream? Well, I tried to figure that one out a lot. I thought it was New Covenant. I thought we were going down. I told Renee, I was like, I think this, we're going down. Thank God I got a life jacket on. But later, you know, we can't understand dreams, visions, scripture, prophetic words at all. We cannot understand them without the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we try any other way, we're going to miss it. If we pull out the dream book and just try to figure it all out by the dream book, we're going to miss it. One thing is because God likes to change up his symbolism to keep us dependent on the Holy Spirit, on what it really means. Well, here's what I believe that means now, that it's going to it, because here's what the Lord said. As soon as I zoomed in and I was the guy, what I heard the Lord say is, it's not what it appears to be. And here's what I believe it is now. I believe the ship represented the United States. And that it appeared like things were going down. But it's not. Now, here's something we have to be very careful about when we hear things like this. Is we say, okay, well, God said it's not going down, so I'll just take my hands off and I'll do something else because he's got it all. No. Because if we don't respond, it might. God shows us things about what could happen, what might happen, things that aren't his will, sometimes things that are his will, but he's showing us for a reason, not to entertain us, not just so we can get on, you know, and do videos about it on YouTube. That first and foremost, we pray and we understand what he's actually communicating. And then secondly, what is our part in it? I'm so glad our founding fathers didn't say, well, God wants to save America, so let's just go back to farming. We'd be drinking black tea and speaking with a weird accent. So that week that we were changing from Saturday to Sunday, it was March 11th, I believe it was on a Wednesday, the World Health Organization declared a state of emergency, and then that night, President Trump got on TV and declared a state of emergency for the United States, which I said then, and I'll say now, I think was his absolute big, one of his biggest mistakes he ever made. I said it the night he said it, as soon as I heard it, I was like, fear is going to spread through the whole nation. That was a horrible mistake. I've got proof that I said it. I got a text from back then that night. It should have never happened. But here we are. A few days after that, I'm praying. And I'm like, Lord, what's going on? That's the best thing to do, by the way, is when we don't know what's going on, we go to the Lord. Lord, what's going on? That we don't get on and find out what every other prophet, Dick, Jane, and Harry saying. Or or what's on YouTube, what's you know, trending on YouTube or Twitter. But Lord, what are you saying? Because he will reveal it to us. If we train ourselves to hear and recognize the voice of God, well, the Father said this to me. And I, when I say this, I always tell people, you can believe it or not, doesn't really matter. I know what he said to me. He said, President Trump is under the influence of a spirit of Jezebel. And then he said, Dr. Fauci's a problem. And I only heard Dr. Fauci's name like twice. I didn't even know who the guy was, really. I saw him standing next to Trump once or twice. He said, Dr. Fauci's a problem. Well, everybody on the planet should know that Dr. Fauci's a problem now. But God would tell us in advance, see, beforehand, he would tell us and show us some things. So we were hit with a bioweapon, and actually the first person that told me that was Terry. Because he said, "What? Remember, you came to me, and I never even thought about this. Terry came to me and he said, what did you think when all this kind of came out? Because I was in the military, I was trained in chemical, biological, and nuclear warfare. Thank you. It's been a long time since that happened. And he said, what did you think when that happened? I was like, well, you know, I don't even remember what I said. And he goes, you didn't think it was a bio attack, I think is the word you used, or something like that? We were attacked. And I was like, you know, I didn't think about that. And the more I thought about that, the more it looked like that's really what was happening. Well, not all, but a lot of people know that now. And so the bioweapon that came out, and then all of a sudden what was happening, because we're just going to stop this spread for, 14 days, right? We just got a 14-day deal. We're going to deal with this. And then when they started talking about, you know, locking businesses down and churches and all of this kind of nonsense, and with all the words that God has spoken, so all of this stuff, all of what I'm sensing on the inside, and I'm not saying just for me, because I know a lot of you are sensing those very same types of things, and as a congregation, we talked about a lot of this. It's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because see, we have to stop, I believe, stop looking at our politicians as our leaders. They're not. Amen. They're our servants. We hire them, we pay them, and we can replace them. They're not our leaders, not under our Constitution. The Constitution's the supreme law of this land, but my God is my supreme law, what he has to say. So I said, Lord, what do you want us to do? What do you want me to do? And I just heard two words, don't participate. Settled it. It just settled it for me. So we're not going to lock down, or we're not going to close down, which we didn't. I didn't tell everybody that, but I never invited people nor disinvited, because I didn't want to lead each person. You have to hear for yourself. You can be here if you want or not. Really? That's my attitude all the time. To be quite honest, not just during COVID. You can be here if you want or not. So don't participate. So I did my best even personally everywhere I went. I didn't participate. Here, God is speaking to us. He's leading us. He's navigating us through these troubled waters. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says, therefore, everyone who hears these words, everyone, not just apostles, not just prophets, not just pastors or teachers, not just those who came out of seminary, not just the older or not just the younger, but everyone who hears these words of mine and then acts on them, responds to them, that's the faith. It's not faith just to hear it. It's not faith just to know what he said. That's not faith. Faith acts, it responds to what he said. They may be compared to a wise man. See, God makes you look good when you just respond to his words. He makes you look wise. Who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house. Yet it did not fall. Why? Because it's been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine that are sitting in churches week after week that hear the words but don't act on them. Sorry, I just paraphrased some of my own stuff in there. They'll be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell. It's the same rain, the same floods, the same storm hits everybody. The winds blew, slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. We are in a decade of trouble, but we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. No, that's another past tense. We have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It doesn't say we are going to receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken, which that's true too, but we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Therefore, everything in our lives that's shaken must not be built on kingdom. That's a hard one, huh? When I'm shaken personally, sometimes I can't do it quick. Because sometimes when you're shaken, it's hard to know, you know, if you're even standing upright. And that's why we need each other, too. It's like, Lord, what is going on here that needs to be dealt with? Why am I shaken? Because the kingdom's not shaken. You're not shaken. You're not the only one sitting on a throne. My Bible tells me I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm also told that before the throne is like crystal glass, a sea like crystal glass, which speaks to a calm and a rest and a peace. You're not in turmoil. And if I'm seated with you, why am I in turmoil? Why am I shaken? Aren't you glad? I think the Lord's shaken. Yeah, Sheila's shaken the earth. Yeah.
If you don't make an adjustment when you hear from God, then you are fooled, or you don't believe you heard.
Mm-hmm.
If you heard and you believe you heard, there has to be an adjustment.
Yep, absolutely. I agree.
So who changed?
Yeah.
That's how you know.
Amen. Now the Holy Spirit is our guide, our teacher, our comforter. Jesus said it was better for him to leave so he can give us the Holy Spirit. That for all who would receive him individually would have this comforter living on the inside. Would have this guide. Would have this teacher. Scripture tells us you need no man to teach you. It doesn't mean you don't need people that are teachers. What it means is, just like I had said previously, the things that I teach, you need to hear from the Holy Spirit whether it's true or not. And what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. That's your real teacher and guide. But he's given us a ruler that we can measure things by, because we all hear voices, let's be honest. We all hear different voices. Many things we base truth on based on our experience. I have found that that's probably one of the strongest teachers in people's lives, and they're stuck there. Because my experience doesn't mean it's truth.
That's right.
It may just be my experience.
Yeah.
But we've developed it sometimes inside and internally to be truth. For instance, and this is one, I'm going to use this one because I've seen this a lot. If you're sick, you've got a disease or something, and you have not been supernaturally healed, and maybe you know people that haven't been supernaturally healed, and maybe you know people and yourself have been prayed for, and you've prayed, and you've quoted scriptures, and you've not received healing, well, that's been your experience. And that experience can build a doctrine, a belief system on the inside of you. And then you come up with things like we hear in the body of Christ, well, I guess God doesn't heal everybody. Or I guess God doesn't heal today. Because it's being based off of my experience. You know, one of the reasons why I'm passionate and I got a little loud there, because that was me. I've done it over and over. I've based, it's been my truth, it's been facts, but it's not ultimate truth. It's not God's truth. And when my experience is contradicted by this, I've got to change. Not try to figure out how can I pervert and twist this word to change to fit my experience, but how can I change? Okay. So what's been unleashed? Demonic, globalist, one world, Tower of the Babel 2, Great Reset, Build Back Better, You're Going to Own Nothing, Be Happy, demonic, oh, did I say that already? Demonic. What's that? Ecumenical. That's a hard one for me. I can't even spell it. Ecumenicalism, that's it. Yeah, it starts with an ECU. ECU, we'll just call that eco. Ecumenicalism, there we go. That's where it's, what, okay, let me explain that. So, because that's part of this Great Reset, it's part of the globalism. We have a one-world government being formed. It's really Babylon, because Babylon's going to be restored. Matter of fact, they're actually building the city Babylon in Iraq, rebuilding it. Saddam Hussein spent millions of dollars before he was killed in rebuilding this. And some believe that's where the Antichrist will be set back up. But that's in Book of Revelation. So, there's so many different terms, and what these demonically influenced people like to do is capture words and redefine them, but use some nice words. And then they change things all the time to keep us like confused and not really sure. And they always love to use really nice sounding words. Because ecumenicalism really isn't a horrible word. It's like a sustainability. It's not a horrible word. But if you understand sustainability, it's horrible, right? There's nothing good about Marxism, that word. I can't get a good part out of that one. But anyway, so there's, in this, and I refer to it, just so I can understand it a little better in my head, is the Babylonian system. So the Babylonian system, which is the Tower of Babel, because the Tower of Babel was not just a tower, it was a city. The Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 11 was the world's first globalist venture. We don't even see really civil government until Tower of Babel. Government flowed from families. Amen. Matter of fact, Abraham, when he fought in a war, he had like 300 and some trained military men that were in his family. So you see these governments, that's one of the reasons why the devil attacks family and the person, because when God created man, it was first individual. I am individually responsible to God. It's individual government. I'm submitted to God. And then Eve, and then family, and then the government went to families. The Tower of Babel was everybody, let's get together. We're going to build this one world governmental system. So within this governmental system was everything, economics, religion, business, all those three major things. So this is what we're seeing today. We're seeing that but that globalism and Babylonian system coming back together of a one-world religion, ecumenicalism, a one-world business, and the partnership, the divine partnership of the government. So you got government, business, and religion all coming together. It's happening in our city. I was part of it until I was like, that's what this is. And I got to back out. There's the combining of Islam. I mean, we've had Chrislam in the past. There's a big push for the combining of Catholicism and evangelicalism coming together. Some will say, and I didn't think it was that bad at the beginning, but if you understand the Pope is a Jesuit, and the Jesuits are just as bad as Masons, and they're horrible, and the Pope is a one-world government guy, and they're not wanting to partner with evangelicals for the sake of partner and unity. They're wanting to partner so they can conform them and bring them into this Babylonian one-world system of a religion. And all of the ones that bow down to it will be able to survive. Yeah, according to them. Yeah, well, that, and they're doing it with everything. Education, all of it is coming under this. And we're being led into really a technocracy. A technocracy is the globalists are wanting to control, using technology, every human being on the planet. And it's possible now because of technology. It's very possible. It's doable. And it's happening right now as we're sitting here. It's happening. It's being put in place. One world currency is coming. Digital currency first. We're gonna see that. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see a big move on that coming this coming year. I think we're gonna see some crazy stuff this coming year. Yep. Yep. So let me say something that will chase some of you out of here. Okay. We talk about some of this on Wednesday night. We talk about very real stuff that's happening. And what I'm about to say, I've seen the actual patents on it. And you can find them and get copies of them. So what's been unleashed on the globe is a bioweapon that is called COVID. But the second bioweapon is the vax. It is a designed bioweapon to kill people, to cause genocide, because that's what these globalists want. They want to reduce population. How many of you heard the CEO from the Indiana Insurance Company this last week? He said from ages 18 to 64, we have a 40% increase in deaths. He said it's completely unprecedented and unheard of. That's one. 18 to 64 age group, they have a 40% increase of death. Where's that on the nightly news? We don't have a pandemic of unvaccinated. We have a pandemic of vaccinated. And this poison death shot's killing people. Now, the patent that I have seen, and there's several patents out there, these patents, I know this is crazy, but whatever. They have nanoparticles in them. And these nanoparticles, I just like, it's so crazy. It's even crazy to talk about, and I've talked about it a lot in other circles. These nanoparticles can put out signals, radio signals. How many of you have seen the latest James Bond movie? Just a few. Renee and I watched it over between Christmas and New Year. You ought to watch it. Because Hollywood always projects everything that's going on. Yes. Yep. And just as a spoiler alert, and if you are a James Bond fan and you don't want to hear this, cover your ears. But guess what they talk about in the movie? Nanoparticles. Bioweapons. Bioweapons that are designed, that they can design to attack certain ethnic groups. Guess what happens to James Bond? I'll leave it there. Not a time to die or no time to die. It's called No Time to Die. Yeah, so I know it sounds crazy, but this is the time we live in. This is why they're pushing the vax so desperately. They want to kill people and they want to control people. Klaus Schwab said, and you know who Klaus Schwab is? He leads the World Economic Forum. He said in 2016, by 2026, in 10 years, we will have given every person on the planet a digital ID. Well, how are you going to get every person to accept a digital ID? Bingo. You push these vax. I don't even like to call it a vaccine, this poison death shot. I like how Zev Zelenko says it. It's a poison death shot that has this junk in it. Yes, that's the word I was looking for the other day, graphene oxide, these nanoparticles. You know, I published an article before the vaccine ever came out that MIT put out that they have quantum dot dye. They put it right on their website. We have a quantum dot dye that's a liquid that, and they even say that can be put in a vaccine that can hold all of your medical records and be scanned with an app on your phone. These are crazy times. We need to really wake up to what's actually happening, stand up, and speak out and be the light. I want to close. Oh, that's right. We couldn't be here. Our parking lot was a skating rink. We should have just came out and skated. I read this scripture this morning. It's Hebrews 1:9. And I put it out on a signal last Sunday. That's something the Lord, and I asked you I don't think I asked you, but I did it hoping that you would just consider this passage. Hebrews 1:9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Lawlessness it's rampant everywhere in our nation right now. Even in Christianity, it's rampant. I've just never seen anything like it. But you have loved, and he's talking about Jesus, you have loved, but we're to be like Jesus. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. Now, let me close. Is that my second close? Yeah. April came to me and said that she said when I give my third close, she was going to go down and make coffee for the baby shower. So you need to make that soon. I'm going to say third close here in a minute. That'll be her cue to take off. So if you see her leaving, that's what she's doing. John 1:1-5. We don't have time to really go into this passage like I was wanting to this morning. But I want to ask you just to contemplate this one too. In the beginning was the Word. The Greek word for word there is logos. There's three main words for word. There's logos, which can be written or spoken. It is God's statement. Here's something else I did not know about what this word also means. This word can be demonstrated. It means to reckon, explain, and give an account. To reveal something how it truly is. Logos. Now, obviously, this passage is talking about Jesus, and Jesus is what? The radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his nature. That's why he's Logos. Isn't that good? Revealing something of how it truly is. So in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, and the Word Logos was with God, and the Word Logos was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. How many things? All. Apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Verse 4. In him was life, not just a biological existence, biological life, bio life. It's Zoe. Zoe is the exact type of life that God has within himself. It is the type of life that Jesus lived. He lived Zoe. Yes, he was biologically alive. That's why when God told Adam, "This you're going to die," he didn't die biologically or die naturally. He lost Zoe, the abundant life, John 10:10. The abundant Zoe, the same type and quality of life that God has within himself. That's what's restored when one is born again. Zoe life is restored in them. So in him was Zoe, and the Zoe was what? The light of men. Oh my gosh. What's your light? Zoe. What causes you to stand out? Zoe. The abundant life. Consider this passage. The light shines in the darkness. Is there darkness in the world today? More than there was yesterday. The light shines where? In the darkness. Where do we need light? When it's dark. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend it. You know what that means? Darkness has no answer for light. Lord, this is my third closing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Lord, I just thank you so much. This is such an exciting time to be alive, to be your sons, your daughters, in your house. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that comforts us, that leads us, that guides us, that teaches us. Thank you for you. That, Lord, we don't only have a relationship, but we have the potential to have the deepest, most intimate, personal fellowship with you as we want. It's not up to you because you've already made that plain to all of us. It's how deep and intimate of a relationship that we really want, of fellowship. To hear your voice, your leading, to know your heartbeat. Glory. Father, I pray for this congregation, Lord. First of all, I thank you for them, that you've made them who they are, that they're understanding their identity more and more, that you have blessed them with revelation, with wisdom and understanding, that they're lovers of God. Father, I ask that you give them dreams, give them visions, even more understanding, more revelation. Father, when they wake up from that dream, that they'll gain understanding, knowledge. Thank you for my brothers and sisters and for relationship, because, Father, I know that's the most important thing. It's the only eternal thing we have, is our relationship with you and with one another. And God, I pray that everything that we do and everything that we say would bring glory to your holy name. Father, I pray that there would be an awakening among your people all across the globe. That those that are sitting in places that are teaching perversion would rise up, get bold and stand up and speak out, even in face of criticism and families rejecting and all of the things, that we would be bold for you, just like Christ. That we would say what you're telling us to say. We would do what you're showing us to do. Amen and amen.